We'll have no nonsense this episode. This is a purely business episode. A Christmas Carol, it's serious. This is about Jesus Christ. They may not mention him by name in this story, but it's about him. It's always about Jesus. Hail Jesus. Just hold on. Stuff it for right now. Let's get through this.
I guess that was way off.
Governor, I'm Uncle.
We watch movies so you don't have to.
Cage Talk.
Welcome to 50 Randy Quaid's. I am your host, Chuck Banner. And with me, my co-host as always,
JT, Old Monia Money.
And, you know, he's not that new pneumonia.
I'm the oldest of Monia.
You got that right.
Okay, so I haven't decided yet if the new announcer voice that you bring the show in is better or worse than the old announcer voice that you brought the show in with. Give me a few more episodes. I'm going to let that marinate and I'll get back to you. Maybe by episode like 95.
All right, sounds good.
Unless you've changed it by then, which is possible.
It is possible. And just in case you did not know, this is episode 91, hashtag Cage Talk 36, A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, we watched A Christmas Carol.
Yeah, it's that summertime snowdown. Here at 50 Randy Quaid's, we're doing a Christmas movie, recording it in August, and fucking coming to your ear holes in October.
Okay, and that's especially disheartening to me this year. I brought this up to you earlier, and let me flesh out why I'm so bothered by the fact that this Christmas movie will be debuting to our fine listenership on October 1st. I made a solemn promise this year to myself to extend my celebration of the mood and feeling of Halloween through the months of September and October. All right, it gets 2 months. Christmas gets like fucking 4 months. All right,
Christmas gets like half a year.
You're right, it gets a lot. And I'm fine with Christmas, but I don't need it for more than December, right? I'll anticipate Thanksgiving for a week. Give me a month for Christmas.
Thanksgiving gets the shaft.
I love Thanksgiving. It's great, but
it's my favorite holiday.
But it's not really a consumer-driven holiday as far as bringing in them big bucks. Like, they found ways to make it that, sure, but it's not like Christmas. That's why Christmas gets 6 months, because you got to advertise for it.
Yeah, but I love the Lions on Thanksgiving.
I don't fucking care about the Lions at all, at any time, ever. And that extends to
all
football
teams.
Every football team in existence, that feeling extends to. But none of this is my point. My point is this. I was going to be like, yes, Halloween. Starting September 1st, nothing but horror movies. I'm just running them down. I'm watching them. Just focusing on Satan.
Well, at least we watched this instead of in October.
But it doesn't matter when we watched it. That's part of it. But when I'm going to get to listen to it myself, be one of the 7 people that might listen to this, I count as one of them. It's going to be on October 1st. And that bugs me. It bugs me a lot, and I might just have to wait until after October to listen to it.
Nah, you'll listen to it.
All right, that's fine. None of that is really important, I guess.
Yeah, because get into that Christmas spirit, y'all, because we watched A Christmas Carol, and it is the 36th Nicolas Cage classic. If you have any questions or comments or, you know, anything else.
Literally anything else.
Yeah, you can go to 50randyquaids.com. There's a comment section on that website that you can, like, send a comment to.
Yeah, that's how it works. You go to the website, you send a comment to the website. Then we see it.
Yeah. Or you can, do the iTunes thing or the Facebook thing or the Twitter thing.
Here's what I've been told. I don't know if
or
you've heard this before,
Chuck.
Or
you can text JT.
No, that's not what's going to happen. I can hook you up with Tater. I think I've offered that before.
Yo, we'll tweet out JT and Tater's phone number and email.
Yes.
Next week.
Yeah, we'll do that next week. But as the sheet here tells me, So I'm sure Chuck knows.
I probably is going to cross that out. So you stop bringing it up.
No, just so everyone knows, it's probably the best way to get a hold of us on Facebook.
No. Actually, the best way is to find Chappers and fucking whisper in his ear. Be like, yo, Chappers. Town of boys.
Again, that's not what I heard. And I trust the sheet, so.
The sheet's a goddamn fucking liar.
Just get at me on Facebook. It's cool.
Remember, for the longest time, I was staring at you.
You'll never find me on Facebook. No one. None of you listeners will ever. It's not easy. I've made it very difficult. I'm not friends with Chuck or anything.
No.
Maybe. None of you guys probably are either. Oh, Tater, you out there? I know you're friends with us.
Hey, so what's that trivia question?
In total, from the beginning, when Charles Dickens birthed this story and put it out into the world, to present day, here, October 1st, 2019, how many iterations of A Christmas Carol have been 57. Released to the public? You're not supposed to answer the question.
That was a guess.
But it was dead on.
The answer and more, I guess, when we get back from the trailer for A Christmas Carol.
Good evening, Mr. Dickens. This is indeed a great honor. Please welcome Mr. Charles Dickens.
I'd like to entertain you with the story of ghosts. Ghosts past, ghosts present, ghosts yet to come.
Mend your way.
You'll have to see the film to find out the rest.
Humbug!
And we are back in the sleigh again, baby.
For the second time in the Cage canon, we have ourselves rooted firmly in Christmas territory.
Ye motherfucking ha and ho 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 to all you listeners out there. In Christmas land.
And while you're out there in Christmas land, we'd like to give you a warning. If you're new to the show, we are going to talk about everything.
We're going to ruin this movie.
We're absolutely going to spoil the shit out of it.
But we're going to give you a warning. It's going to be a real nice 3-second warning.
This hasn't even been the warning yet. So I hope you're ready for that countdown.
Yo. 1, 2, 3. Bam.
I swear to God, if you are old enough that you're listening to this show and you need to have me spoil A Christmas Carol for you, and it would bother you if you didn't know, I will fucking murder you. So I'm not going to spoil anything right now. If you don't know, you're going to wait until we get to the end of talking about this terrible fucking movie to let you know what happens. Good God. Oh.
Oh, there's definitely a part where, like, it almost seems like it was made for you to be on drugs watching it.
It really was. It transitioned, like, it was about halfway probably in the runtime, I would guess, where it was just like, oh, like, the majority of the visuals, except for the four main characters that are flying around, this is some trippy ash, like crayon, pastel, chalks. Like, it was still kind of questionable animation in terms of what I enjoy, but the way they colored it was fucking really, really cool. And that's one of the nicest things I'll say about this movie. We'll get it right out right now.
Right in the ruining portion of it. So, okay, so this movie was obviously an animated family movie, a Christmas movie, holiday movie, whatever you want to call it.
I think you covered what I would want to call it, unless we're going to start getting into descriptors of how good or bad it was. So I got a little bit more to say.
So this movie was released December 7th, 2007 in the UK.
Before we even get past that release date, let me talk a little bit of shit. If you would have told me based on the animation of this movie that it was released in 1991, I might have believed you. But 2001, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, the entire time we were watching this movie, JT was bashing the fucking ever-living shit out of this movie.
Wait until we get through our proper introductions here, and I will gladly go on at length about that.
So, here in the good old United States of America, December 7th, 2007... No. December 7th, 2001... We saw number one, Ocean's 11, $38.1 million is a new debut. That's pretty good money.
And it's a good movie, so that makes sense to me.
Yeah, yeah. Harry Potter, number two, and the Sorcerer's Stone, $14.7 million in its fourth week. So, yeah, this movie was killing it.
I'd be interested to know what it got in its first week.
Yeah, it probably destroys Ocean's 11.
I don't know.
Number three, Behind Enemy Lines, $8 million in week two.
Not bad, Behind Enemy Lines.
Number four, Monsters, Inc., $6.5 million in week six.
We're talking, that's still, like, Pixar in the beginning stages.
Okay, and so, like, just remember, Monsters, Inc.
Oh, no, I remember. We'll get there.
Like.
Oh, no, I know the point you're going for. We'll get there.
That animation.
Just hold on. Stuff it for right now. Let's get through this.
Stuff it. Oh. Number five, Spy Game.
What's Spy Game?
$4.4 million. I don't know. I think that it might be... I'm going to go ahead and say that it's a buddy movie with Owen Wilson and Jackie Chan.
I feel like that is a movie that actually exists.
And confirmation. Oh, yeah. So it made $4.4 million in week three. So it came out in
Robert Redford, Brad Pitt.
Hmm. I guess I was way off.
So Brad Pitt's rocking Spy Game and Ocean's 11 in this week.
Oh, yeah. Brad Pitt killing it. All right. So this movie was an estimated £6.183 million.
And I don't know what that converts to American money in that
when
time.
When I was looking it up, it said roughly $12 million.
Back then?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, please, Chuck, enlighten me. Did this, I really hope that it did, come anywhere near recouping the investment that was put into it?
So in the cumulative worldwide gross, it brought in $475,000. So, yeah, nowhere near.
I don't think you said that number right.
Probably not. Let's go ahead and say it again. So, the
Yes!
Fuck. Yes! The cumulative worldwide gross is $266,475.
That is correct. So it made so much. This failed as hard as it deserved to.
Yeah, this. No money.
No money.
And I don't even remember what I spent on it.
I hope it wasn't more than like $6.
I would venture to say that I would say probably 10 to 15. All right, so Pyatt Croon and Robert
Llewellyn. And I'm not correct you on the first person's name because I don't know how to say the first name either.
Oh, dude, it's definitely Pyatt.
It's probably Piet.
No, it's Pyatt.
Okay.
Pyatt Croon and Robert Llewellyn. And this is all based on that book by Chuck Dickens.
Chucky Dix.
And so Jimmy T. Murakami directed this
Jimmy T.
movie. And so the one true god, the foreign killer, you know, like...
The foreign killer is what you're going with?
I was trying to figure out something good.
What did you say earlier? It was way better.
I
think you said the foreign king?
I don't know, the master of all foreign lands?
There, I think that was it. I feel like that's
overstating. He kills overseas. He kills overseas.
Well, not in this movie. He didn't kill on any seas.
Well, I mean, he was in this movie for, like, literally less than 2 minutes.
That's not my fucking problem. I didn't write the movie.
No, either did I. They should have given him a bigger role. I mean...
Oh, you're not going to have him play Ebenezer Scrooge because he can't do a fucking British accent.
Well, apparently they didn't give a fuck.
Well, so, he plays Jacob Marley, who is an integral character in this story, but no, gets very little screen time.
So Simon Callow.
Callow?
Is Scrooge / Charles Dickens, but I don't ever remember him being Charles Dickens.
They probably had him do a little narration at the beginning of the movie that we were already talking over.
Oh, yeah. All right, so Kate Winslet is Belle, and she has a wonderful number later in the movie. Jane Horrocks is the Ghost of Christmas Past. Michael Gambon.
Dumbledore.
It's the Ghost of Christmas Present. And Rhines Ifsens.
All right, the first name is Reese, I would Reese guess.
Ifens.
Ifens or Ifens?
Ifens. Reef Ifens. Rice. Reef?
Rice. Rice-a-roni.
Rice.
Rice-a-roni fans.
Rice? Is it Rice or Reese?
I'm guessing Reese. Reese.
Reese?
He's Bob Cratchit. Cratchit.
Reese Ifens is Bob Cratchit.
Bob Cratchit.
Oh, good old Bobby Cratchit. Oh, governor. So, the IMDb breakdown is brought to us by me. And it goes a little bit like this. An old bitter miser who makes excuses for an uncaring nature learns real compassion when three ghosts visit him on Christmas Eve.
Amen.
And so, you know, like we already stated, this is a Christmas movie.
Oh, it's straight up a Christmas movie. It's the most Christmas movie you can have. Like, this is one of the most famous Christmas stories that's ever been done anywhere. Like, how much? Like I asked them a trivia question. How many times has this fucking thing been done?
57.
An infinite amount of times, I swear to you. It's an infinite amount of times.
Not like 50, maybe 57.
If you're going
to... I'd venture to say maybe 59, 60.
If you're going to adapt this story and tell it, you got to bring something to the table that's at least interesting. And this fucking absolutely failed.
Oh, no. They had mice. Everywhere.
Oh, no, not everywhere. Just two of them. Two mice that went a lot of places. At the beginning, it felt like there were mice everywhere and everyone was friends with mice. And mice
I think there are more than two mice.
There were definitely not more than two mice.
I think it followed two mice.
They only showed us two mice that whole movie.
No, because there was mice at the fucking hospital.
I think there's just two of them.
Tiny Tim was playing with a fucking mouse. Like, his best friend is a mouse. Then there was a
mouse.
There was a mouse at the fucking hospital when, like, the other hospital that Kate Winslet was at.
That was the mouse.
She was tucking in people that are coughing, and they're like, oh, right. Well, I guess they're just, you know, sick because it's cold outside.
Tiny,
no, maybe they're playing with fucking mice,
Tiny
and
Tim,
they're getting goddamn diseases.
Tiny Tim had a third mouse. I'll concede that.
These fucking people are morons.
But the one that Kate Winslet had at the hospital is the one that snuck out of her pocket and hung out at Scrooge's place later and went on all the adventures.
Well, what kind of fucking piece of shit mouse abandons their fucking owner like that?
I think he was going
especially to... when this movie makes it seem like these mice are, like, attached to these people.
It plays itself out later because that's the mouse that opens up the letter. And, like, make sure or bring it, even, first of all, gets the letter so that it's brought out and Scrooge finds it to have it open later. Like, that mouse was definitely trying to make sure that its master's message
was a letter that Kate Winslet wrote to Scrooge. And it was like, oh, man, Scrooge, I miss you. And I really want to, like, get down. My husband went to prison because.
Not true.
because well, we the couldn't prison's true. Because we couldn't pay. So he had to go to prison because of the debt. So I'm finally free and I want it from you, Scrooge.
Some of that is true.
Scrooge McDick.
McDuck. Get it right. Okay.
Or pay the price?
Mm-mm. So, or yeah, her husband goes to jail, debtor's prison, because he can't pay his fucking
so
bills.
Many people go and to so, debtor's prison.
So she writes this letter that's a familiar letter, like she knows this motherfucker, right? And she's like, I just, come on, dog. Come on.
See, we didn't know that Kate Winslet knew Scrooge, because back
like
in
we
the day,
should have known that. Because
back in the day, Scrooge and Kate were like engaged to be married, and we see this later in the movie when the fucking Ghost of Christmas Past, played by Jane Horrocks, comes out, and she's all like, "Hey, why don't you go over and look at the past? Because you're gonna see your past, Scrooge." And Scrooge's like, "Hey, fuck you, bitch."
That sounded kind of like him. It sounded nothing like her. That was an old crone, and she was not an old crone.
That's what I saw. That's what I heard.
It was like Tinkerbell and the Statue of Liberty mixed together. Okay.
The second thing that I actually wanted to get into was, and I believe we already touched on it, but these kids, okay, I wrote that they were playing with a rat, but it was really just a mouse in this. Like
you were on it immediately. Hospital. The first scene that they showed the mouse like, in, you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, yeah, because like one, you're playing with fucking rodents, right? These are dirty animals.
So are the people that they're
that
playing
are
with
carrying
them.
Diseases, and then these people are sick already, and
they're not getting sick from the mice.
No, but that can't be helping. Like
it's not hurting.
It's got to be hurting them somehow because they're. They're,
no, it's the cold buckets of water being thrown on the crippled children.
Well, that does not help
the
either.
The children.
So, yeah, I mean, like, and then, dude, like, the next thing I wrote down is, why are the people so friendly to the fucking mice? It's like it's like they're pets, but they're not. They're disease-carrying vermin.
Why do they love mice so much? That's what I have written down here in all caps with three question marks. So
it's
I was right
valid,
there with you
on
that.
It's a valid fucking question.
And that was my second note. My first note is also something that your first note, you said you touched on, we touched on earlier. The animation in this fucking movie. And more to your point, as you were getting into the Monsters, Inc. thing, because I wrote down here, I looked at what other animated films came out in 2000 and 2001, right in the direct time frame of this movie being released. And we've got, from Disney, The Emperor's New Groove, which, I mean, Disney was the standard bearer for animated movies, yeah. So obviously they're putting out high-quality shit. You've got Monsters, Inc., which is a different thing entirely with the computer animation.
Yeah, it's Pixar, right?
Still, yeah, that's Pixar. Was it their second or third, maybe? And Toy Story was the first.
Yeah, I'm not too sure where that would have fallen.
Monsters, Inc.'s an early one in what they were doing with the Disney relationship. And obviously, yes, it's different than what this is, the hand-animated shit. But this was, like, from, like I said, 1991, but on, like, Nickelodeon.
Yeah, this is like if people were like, they're like, all right, I'm really good at drawing with my right hand, but I want to get better with my left.
Kind of like that,
I'm going to do this whole movie with my left hand, except for they got everybody that worked on this movie. They're like, what's your dominant hand? They're like, oh, my right. And they're like, use your left.
Well, you also got at this time frame coming out Shrek, El Dorado, and Titan AE, which was a combination of the computer and the hand animated. And if we're going to count a combination with live action, you also had Osmosis Jones.
All right, yeah. So a lot of things that were doing a lot better looking animation. Other than the trippy animation in this movie was cool. Like, that was interesting because it like completely changed the movie when it did it.
I was totally checked out of this movie until Jacob Marley, Nick Cage, showed up on the scene and changed the tone of it in the animation department, because even his character was a little bit loose and just different looking. It still wasn't great animation, but it was more interesting than everything else. And then when the Ghost of Christmas Past shows up, she introduces another little bit kind of a trippier element to it. And when you finally get to the Ghost of Christmas Present, they go all in with it. And he goes on this fucking magic carpet ride through this tie-dye wonderland with two mice and a Hagrid in a gold robe.
I have a couple of things before that.
I know. I'm just following the trippy line.
No, yeah. Oh, man, a lot of my notes are mice-related.
My next note is also about the mice.
I have Tiny Tim is best friends with a fucking mouse. And he is sick this entire movie. And what the fuck? Why is he playing with goddamn mice?
The mouse had nothing to do with it, Chuck.
I'm just saying. You're killing me. There's got to be some sort of relationship.
The mice do much more ridiculous things in this movie than be friends with Tiny Tim.
Oh, like Reed? Yeah, I know. So there's a point where this woman she's walking out of her house or something like that. No. She's walking up to... Kate Winslet. Kate Winslet's character, Belle. She's walking up to this building of the people who... they owe the money to, right? And that's the reason why her husband was arrested and taken to jail.
They owed this dude money. Dude knew he wasn't going to be able to collect on it, so he sold the debt to Scrooge. And Scrooge is the miserly motherfucker who goes straight to the police and says, these motherfuckers can't pay their debts, put them in jail. That's how it worked.
And so she's like leaving, and... like this, just like this group of people on the side of the road just start laughing at her. And I'm just like, man, people are just laughing at the poor. Like, that just seems like an odd choice.
Well, she goes from there over to Scrooge's place. She goes home first, writes a letter to Scrooge.
Wait. At what point does she go to the prison? Because I wrote down no prison mice.
Yeah, I think she might have stopped at the prison before going home. I think she was going to talk to the doctor who had looked at...
yeah, her husband, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Which made it even weirder when she was like...
I didn't pay much attention to this part of the movie.
See, I think that's her husband, but I'm not 100% sure. Mm. Because, like, I also think she was kind of like eyeing Scrooge the whole time, too.
Nah, I wouldn't really like that. Because you wanted it to be like that, but it wasn't like that.
I don't know. I think you wanted it to be like that, too.
In a different way with some different characters. We'll get to that later.
So, but
after the prison and after home, where she tries to write a letter to Scrooge, like a whole bunch of times, where she finally settles on one and she goes over there to drop it off.
And
who's there but Bob Cratchit, who's like, this motherfucker ain't got time for your letter, bitch. Like, that's essentially his attitude.
Yeah,
like,
dude, he seemed like
here.
A real fucking dickbag. And then
he was learning from Scrooge.
And then as soon as he left work, he would like turn it off. But whenever he was there, he was all like, I got to be just like Scrooge.
He knew that if he didn't do what Scrooge did and act the way that Scrooge would approve of, that Scrooge was going to be like, get the fuck out of my office.
Yeah, he'd just fire his ass.
So he's being a dick, and I don't know, the letter just does not doesn't end up in Scrooge's hands.
No, because he somehow loses it.
But as she's taking off, the mouse that's been with her the whole time jumps out of her pocket and runs back up to Scrooge's place. And that's when we get our two-mouse connection, where the mouse from her house is now friends with the mouse from Scrooge's house, who is tight with Scrooge. Let's not forget that this mouse loves Scrooge and gets cheese from Scrooge. And kind of in the beginning,
it's probably
they show
Scrooge's
it to have the
best
same,
friend. Legit.
The only time they show him with tender feelings in the beginning before his repentance at the end is... when he's talking to that fucking mouse.
Yeah.
Giving it cheese, being super nice to it, and fucking bread and shit.
The
way they show the mouse in the beginning, it's also kind of taken on the same characteristics of Scrooge, where it sees the other mouse in the house and gives it like a dirty look. Like, what the fuck are you doing here? Get out of my goddamn house, bitch.
This is our house. We pay for this house with all of our blood, sweat, and tears and throwing people in jail.
And you know what? Speaking of that angle and that shit... this movie definitely takes a dramatic version of this, as the book is meant to be. When you look at a lot of the other more contemporary remakes of this movie, like with Scrooged in the 80s.
I kind of felt it was supposed to be like a comedy.
This?
Yeah.
No.
Based on like seeing some of the other.
I think they had the mice in there to lighten up the tone, but everything was about this
was definitely not more like
it was not a comedy.
Dude, I don't even really know how this really could be considered a family movie, other than the fact that it was like a cartoon. Because
it's a Christmas story. This is a family story. This is one of the most popular and famous Christmas stories of all time.
I kind of feel like it's a bad story.
It's about redemption. It's about not acting like fucking Scrooge, but being good to people and giving to people and caring about people and not only caring about yourself and money and possessions.
No, like, yeah, I get that, but it just seems like it took like a long time to get there.
Well, that's the whole point.
Nah, I could have done this movie in like 30 minutes.
Then read the book.
Just watch the movie. All right. So I wrote down no prison mice, ? Because when she does go to see her husband in prison, there's definitely no mice. And I was a little thrown off at the fact there was no mice.
There weren't mice anywhere. There should have been mice. There were only mice in people's pockets and in people's houses.
And like this one mouse back at Scrooge's work, the one mouse like falls into a bucket of water. And I was like, oh shit, this mouse is going to drown. We're going to see a dead mouse. And Scrooge's mouse saves his ass. Or saves her ass. I don't know.
Their ass.
Their ass.
When you don't know, you don't commit.
And so, yeah, that's what happened. And then Scrooge takes that very bucket of water and throws it on a crib.
Throws that bucket of water directly on Tiny Tim.
Who's a crib?
With his crutch. Like, there's a crowd of other people around him. This bucket goes right on poor little Tiny Tim's head, who's just gotten out of the doctor's office. The doctor tells him,
he's got that pneumonia.
It's not terrible right now, but, like, you're getting worse. You need to go home. You need to rest. You need to get better.
You need to go and play with some ice.
Cold.
I mean, mice.
Not ice. Mice are fine. No ice.
No ice water, but you can play with mice.
No mice water either, though.
No. Oh, and that's what he got. He got some nice cold mice water thrown on his ass. He's going to get that pneumonia turned into some omonia real quick.
So Scrooge gets back, or he's coming back from wherever the fuck he was running errands. He had to go to the bank or some shit. I don't know. I don't really care what the fuck Scrooge is doing. He's a dick. Well, he's coming home, and his nephew comes up to him when he gets up to his door, and he's like, "Oi, governor, I'm uncle." I can't do an accent. I'm
not governor,
try.
Why don't you come to old birthday party for us tonight? I mean, it's not old birthday party. It's like Jesus' birthday party. You know what I'm saying? And Scrooge is like, I will not be there because I don't want you to try to touch me. And his grandson's like, I don't know what you're talking about, governor. We ain't going to touch you. I got a wife. You know what I'm saying? She said.
Well, we find out later that he's been inviting him to this Christmas party for years, and every year Scrooge is like, nah, fuck you, dude. I'm not interested. Fuck Christmas. I don't even say Merry Christmas. Don't even say Merry Christmas around me. If you say Merry Christmas around me and you work for me, I'll fire you. If you say Merry Christmas around me and you don't work for me, I'll have you put
growl at you he did, a fucking growl. Dog.
Yeah, no, that happened. He definitely growled when someone said or tried to say Merry Christmas at him.
Did we get to the part yet where the fucking mice can read?
No, that comes later.
Much later?
I think that comes after.
That's like my next fucking
I think that
note.
Comes at the end of all of the ghosts.
And then I also,
up.
Right after that, wrote, the mice dominate this movie.
They're what they took here as, this is the hook for this movie. This is what's going to set this apart from every
this
other Christmas carol that's out there.
This is what's
going to
make you remember this fucking cartoon piece of British shit.
Not our lackluster animation. Not our ridiculous accents. Not an adaptation of
not,
a classic.
Not
Christmas
our lack
story.
Of an accent when it's 2 minutes of Nicolas Cage.
But it's going to be these mice.
You are going to fucking love these mice.
Well, we're talking about them. I'll give them that much.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it was hard not to because they were literally in, like, every fucking scene.
Well, okay, so we get to the point where he goes inside. He's like, Bob, go fucking home. Yes, you can have Christmas off, but show up extra early the next day to make up for it.
Yeah, it gives him, like, 2 cents more.
gives him a little bit of money, like, hey, yeah, I guess there's a little bit of not terribleness in you, blah, 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 blah. And he goes to lay down for the night with fucking blackness in his heart, hatred for Christmas and all Christmas joy. Fuck the world and fuck everyone. That's Ebenezer Scrooge FTW. For you, baby. He lays down.
Scrooge McDuck.
He lays down into what ends up being a very fitful night of sleep, where he's visited by Nick Cage playing Jacob Marley, his 7 years dead business partner.
Yeah, Bob Marley's twin.
Bob Marley's twin. Yes.
All right, so the mice dominate this movie, and that's pretty much what I got.
I feel like we've talked about the mice enough for right now that we're going to skip forward past even the Ghost of Christmas Past. I don't think we need to get into specifics of where the story goes from
here. No, it was just kind of like...
You know the... if you don't know Christmas Carol, fuck you. We're not even going to bother to spoil it for you now. I can't...
No. It's actually kind of better that we don't spoil it if they don't know it, because then it's like
haha,
fuck double you. Fuck you, like, yeah.
If you were here for spoilers,
yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, yeah. We'll just dance around it.
Ghost of Christmas Past was fine. Like, it didn't get too crazy, but it gave you the background of why Scrooge was the way he was, blah, 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 whatever. I was still kind of like, I was paying more attention at this point, but I was still pretty much checked out.
I liked it because I got the backstory of knowing why Scrooge was a piece of shit.
Oh, you didn't already know?
I mean, like, I don't know. I kind of did.
Not important. What's important is when we get to the Ghost of Christmas Present, who is, I wrote down, dope as fuck. Literally, I don't use those words in succession to describe anything.
No, yeah, it was pretty cool. Like,
but it was a Hagrid-sized fucking giant in a gold robe with the hood up, carrying a golden cornucopia.
The whole movie changed. It was like they just dosed everybody.
It's kind of what it felt like, because as soon as he showed up and like, touch my magic cornucopia, and he touched his magic cornucopia, they went on a crazy ass journey.
Oh, dude! And it's
a
like he was just like
void.
Like tipping the cornucopia over, and like,
yeah, what was that when he was dumping the cornucopia like, on the sailors? Like, what was the point of it? And they go, "Who else was he dumping it on? All sorts of things and people."
Yeah, it was
spreading
just,
cornucopia joy.
Apparently, like it was
looking
almost
for
like
some
it was
hard
like,
cornucopia.
Like it was glitter, like you know, like some hardcore cornucopia action.
It was glitter. It was like. I don't know. It was weird. But that's it. Shit just got weird. There wasn't a whole lot of talking. They were just traveling through the present.
It was music and...
sick, like, choral arrangements. And then they would do some chanting. Then they'd cut into some, like, solo, like, church-style singing. It was all over the
place. Yeah, it was real satanic.
If you want to play it that way, I don't think it was meant to be satanic.
I mean, there was a bunch of upside-down crosses and, like...
blood pouring out people's eyes,
yeah,
and buttholes.
Yeah. Lots of blood. Lots of sixes, you know.
But yeah, the animation style, and I'm not going to say it was like good or like technical or even in the way it was presented like great, but it was just interesting. It was real loose and kind of like it was drawn with crayons or some kind of chalks or something. Like just... it felt like nothing else they were doing in the movie which felt like stock animation from the early 90s on a television show. Like it was not impressive to me at all. But this shit was just interesting enough that I was like, okay, now I'm paying attention. It just got weird. And the whole time you're with Christmas Present, you stop in the houses and you get the updates on what they're saying about Scrooge. So he's like, oh fuck, everyone thinks I'm a dickhead and everyone's lives kind of suck right now and I could help, but I'm not doing it. It gets a little less trippy when they're in there, but then they get back on the fucking road and they're flying through the sky and just it was weird.
I didn't see
it coming.
You know, it was really cool. And then he wakes up in his bed and death comes, and death is like
Ghost
Christmas
of Christmas future.
Yeah, and it was
stylized
legit looked
as
like
the
death.
Reaper. Oh yeah.
And so it didn't say anything, and it just kind of, like, showed him what was going to happen. And it was, like, literally the next day. It's all like, oh, yeah, Tiny Tim the Crypt died.
You got to stop calling him the Crip. You go Cripple, sure, which you probably shouldn't do that either.
No, he's a Crip.
But you should...
Dude, there's nothing to suggest that he wasn't a Crip other than I'm pretty sure he said fuck Bloods.
Didn't they say there was minor language that warranted the rating of this movie? What was the minor language? I don't know.
Crip?
Did they say Crip in the movie?
Oh, they said Cripple Boy.
Crippled Boy is different than calling him a Crip. I shouldn't even be admonishing you by using the word.
Either way, like I said, either way. You know, so he dies, and it was all because of the water that was thrown on him. They're like, man, you can't throw mice water on people.
And even more importantly than that, it all stems back to he didn't pay Bob Cratchit enough to allow him to have a fucking lifestyle that would be able to keep his family well-nourished, well-clothed, living in a nice home. Like, he kept him poor.
Oh, yeah. Like, their whole family was wearing, like, no socks, no shoes, no gloves. Like, everybody outside early in the movie was, like, outside walking around with, like, no gloves on in the middle of the winter. Like, just making fucking, like, snowballs and shit. And I'm like, dude, where are these kids' hats and, like, jackets and gloves?
Well, half of them will be dead by next Christmas.
Yeah. Because they're just not going to survive.
Good. Get rid of them.
Yeah, you know, like, bring down the population or something.
So then the Reaper's like, hold on, let me show you the true end to this story. All these people are like, oh, yeah, he talking shit about Scrooge without using his name. And Scrooge's like, who the fuck are they talking about? Who's this dead man that they're talking all this shit on?
Oh, yeah, and it's him.
And then they bring him to the morgue. He's like, oh, God, it's my dead body. No! And he sees his grave. He loses his fucking mind.
They don't say how he died, though.
No. But then Jacob Marley shows up, and he's got his gang of ghouls with him again, and he's like, bitch, you fucked up. You got this chain around your waist like me with all your mistakes weighing you down. You're going to come join the chain gang. Drags him along, and then he wakes up in his bed. And that's when the mice open the letter, read the letter, and make sure that Scrooge sees the letter.
So the next thing that I have written down, well, okay, so let's just say that Scrooge does change his ways. He yells at a kid.
If I were to have actually spoiled this at the top, that's where I would have started.
So he yells at a kid and does change his ways. And
this kid's out in the street building the snowman in the middle of the street.
And then he's all like, I'm sorry. And he throws a bunch of money at him, hits the kid in the eye. The kid ends up crying and a bunch of blood pours out. And then like a demon comes up and is like, six, six, six. And
that's not what happened. But what did happen is the kid pulled a carrot out of his pocket, took a bite out of that carrot, stuck it in the snowman's face, thus creating the first Frosty the Snowman. Well, when Scrooge came down later to go make his runs, he stopped by that snowman. He sucked that carrot nose off just like a penis. That's what really happened.
I don't think that happened.
Well, then we watched a different movie.
I think what happened is he put a hat on him.
That sounds more accurate now that you say it.
Well, he put a hat on him. And
he sucked the carrot nose dick later when he was coming back. That's right.
Maybe. Mm. But you know what? Maybe he didn't come back.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe he died either way.
I'm going to say that's a good bet.
No, what really happens is he gives Bob Cratchit like a 4 times the salary raise.
Yeah, so he gives him from like a $2 raise to like an $8 raise.
That's probably huge in 18-something London.
Yeah, well, this movie takes place in 2001, so I mean, it's not that bad.
That's true, yeah. No, you're right. That makes a lot of sense.
And so in this alternate future, Tiny Tim is no longer Tiny or a Crip anymore. He gets out of the gang life.
He's still Tiny.
He gets out of the gang life, and he grows up, and he goes to school to be a doctor.
Or he's known as Dr. Tiny Tim.
No, he's Dr.
I'm sorry, no, Dr. Tiny Timothy.
Dr. Tim Paquito.
Does he move to South America?
Yes.
Is he a Nazi doctor?
Maybe.
Let's not get into that.
So I also then wrote down that Scrooge became a good human. May or may have not hooked back up with Belle.
Definitely didn't hook back up with Belle. She was married to someone else.
Yeah, but what if he had that guy killed by Dr. Timmy?
Hold on. We skipped over something that we mentioned earlier.
From Brazil.
It's when Scrooge is walking to be like, hey, I'm a better person now, and I'm going to go act on it and actually be a better person. And the spirits show back up while he's in the street. Ghost of Christmas Past shows up and like swirls him up in this trippy ambiance and lifts him up into the air. She's got her own cornucopia now.
Oh, yeah. So like, what happened? Did he die?
Who, Scrooge?
Yeah.
I don't think
right
so.
Right there. Did he die? Because, like...
No, because he came back down after that and did all of his good shit.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
No, he didn't die there. I think it was, like...
So it was, like, right at the end where it was all, like, we're just going to forget that these mice even exist in this movie.
Don't worry about them. Fuck them. They'll go back home. It's
that's
kind of
bullshit because, like, this whole movie was about fucking mice. But, and then, like, we don't get any fucking closure with the goddamn fucking mice.
They went back home. They ended up living with,
That's fucking bullshit.
Belle.
I want
Listen,
proof.
But they made up for it by giving us a great Kate Winslet jam called What If going
what
over the scene.
If
I don't even know if that's how it went, but it's
I cared
about as memorable.
About this song.
What so, if? So and then, like, not more than 2 minutes afterwards, they wrap up the whole story. They got Belle talking to Scrooge. Story's over.
What if?
And then they kick into the credits song, which is Charlotte Church's It's the Heart That Matters Most. So
it's
right out of nowhere, they bring
most.
These, like, two ballad-esque songs into the mix.
Christmas, past, and future.
And then the stupid fucking movie's over, and you need to stop singing, for the love of God, as much as this movie needed to stop existing.
So is there anything else that you want to talk about, Christmas Carol?
No.
All right, so let's get to rating this movie on a scale of 1 to 50. Randy Quaid. Bah, 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 bah. Wah, wah, wah. Yeah. All right, so IMDb gives this movie a 27.5 Randy Quaid.
A what?
A 27.5.
Excuse me?
Yeah. So they're basically saying that this is a watchable to good movie. I'd say that is questionable.
False.
Black Bears are best.
You know what? That makes me want to rate it even lower than I was going to rate
it. Does that grind your gears?
Don't ever ask me that question again. I'm going to give this movie a 5. 5 Randy Quaids. And only because of the trippy-ass animation that snuck in on me out of nowhere and Dumbledore doing a voice. It gets no credit for Nick Cage not even fucking attempting a British accent while playing a British role in a British-produced movie. It gets nothing for that. That almost makes me want to bring that up now, drop it to a 4, but I'm not going to. I won't be that rash. I'm going to keep it at a 5. I do not recommend. I would never watch again. If you want to watch A Christmas Carol, watch A Muppet Christmas Carol. That'll get you where you need, and it's actually good.
All right, so I had a 12 written down on the sheet. I am not giving this movie a 12. So I am also going to give this movie a 7. Not a 5 like you did, but a 7. But it's also in the single digits. Single digits. We are both in the single digits, so I'm also giving it a single digit number. So I'm going to give this movie a 7 because this movie was pretty much god-awful dog shit. If it wasn't for the fucking mice that kept me in the fucking movie.
Is that what kept your interest, was the mice? Like you were down, on that? Or was it just because it was the only thing they really gave you that was interesting?
It was the only thing they gave me that was interesting that I could write about, because like anything else, I was just like, well, this movie kind of sucks. And then, like you said, Nick Cage, it was like he literally phoned it in. It sounded like he tried a little bit with some of like the moaning and whatnot, but it was like not British. And
if they would have reimagined this as an American tale as opposed to a British tale somehow, which would have been bad anyway, well, except for when they did it with Scrooge. But if they do it like an 1800s style back in America, either way, it doesn't matter. It was appalling to hear him just be Nick Cage, not even attempt an accent.
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah, I'm going to give this movie a 7. The mice, that's why. So you can catch all of our new episodes on iTunes and at 50randyquaids.com. You can also follow us at 50randyquaids on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Next time on 50 Randy Quaids, episode 92, Wind Talkers.
Back into the war fold with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, yeah. So we're back in the tank again. until next time. We watch movies so you don't have to. Peace out.